Always on. Well, first of all, I wanted to bring a report from Mom and Dad up at the beach. They had an awesome morning today. Awesome day, whole day. They spent the time sitting with short sleeves on their patio, talking and reading their word, and they've been having an awesome time getting great depths of revelation. And they're ready to come back and just fly out of the gate on Sabbath. So, I guess tonight it will be Holy Spirit-led, kind of. There's been a lot that the Lord has been sharing with us since Sabbath, and just like confirming the message by every person that we've listened to, like Keith Moore, his wife Phyllis, George Pearson's, every person I've listened to has confirmed something from it and added more revelation to it. So, having said that, let's start from our scriptures. Where's my thing? My notes. let's start with 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. This will be kind of like the base scripture for tonight. In the Amplified it says, "For our sake he made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness." So, and then I would like you to turn over to Ephesians 6. Verse 14. "Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity, of moral rectitude and right standing with God." So I think on Sabbath we kind of focused, well, we kind of did a lot of the different pieces of the armor, but tonight we're sensing that we need to go more in depth to the breastplate of righteousness and what righteousness is. What righteousness is, that righteousness, everybody has it as a picture of its right standing with God. But we don't know the depth of that. When you just get a head knowledge, it's different than when you get heart revelation. So it's the entrance of his words that bring light to our heart. So we want to get a full grasp of the meaning of righteousness and what it is. And I guess we just start from there. No. Go ahead.
And we have to come into a place where we just don't know who we are. We have to know how to walk out who we are. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to putting on the armor, anybody can put on the armor. I mean, absolutely anybody could put the armor on. But if you don't know who you are with that armor on, if you don't know that you are already made the righteousness of God, with the armor on, you know, it's not something that you have to work for. Abba already made us righteous. Mm-hmm. You know, like you hear, we're working to be more holy, to live more holy, or working to do this or that. He already made us more righteous. He already made us righteous. And this righteousness, we need to know who we are as the righteousness of God, because he is righteous. So if he is righteous, we are righteous because he is in us and we are in him. So we need to come to the full realization of this righteousness while we have the armor on. Because if we're wearing the armor and we don't know who we are, you know, we could have the armor on and we don't know who we are, it's not really going to do us any good, because we could be come up to a battle, and we could have our sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we could be declaring. But if there's no authority behind what we're declaring, mm-hmm. if we don't know who we are in him declaring these words, we're not gonna get very far. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to righteousness, we have to know that we already operate in this realm. And righteousness is everything that is right.
It's the force of of the very being of God and the force of everything that is right, everything that is pure. It's the very being and essence of who he is and his character. And
when we walk forth in this righteousness in everything that is right, you know, like we've been hearing so much over months now, and some of us have picked it up where we say, you know, someone asks us a question and we say, all is well, all is wonderfully well, all is right, you know, everything is right. And that's what it is. Abba is right in everything. Everything about Abba is right. He's in a condition of rightness all the time. And that's what is ours. We're supposed to be operating in this condition of rightness all the time. So when we put the armor on and knowing who we are with this armor on, we're operating in this rightness all the time. And he actually showed me this morning about the Shunammite woman. Mm-hmm. The Shunammite woman. Now, you all know the story about the Shunammite woman who, you know, God granted her request of her having a baby and the boy ends up dying. Now, she knew who she was in Christ and she was wearing her armor, because what was her response to her husband? What was her response to the servant when they asked what was wrong? All is well. Everything is all right. So this woman knew who she was. She knew who she was with the armor on. And she had many opportunities to fail. She had many opportunities to not operate in faith. But she stepped into that place of knowing who she is in the righteousness of God. And she spoke forth, everything is all right. And what happened? She received her son back to life.
And I guess that's where we started talking about that on Sabbath, about how the wall, you know, remember when we were talking about the wall, how when we push against it, it's supposed to fall. And even the wall, just like the wall of Jericho, what was the force that made the wall fall? It was the force of everything that is right. Because when you release righteousness on sin or something that's not right, it has to either come into line or it falls. So when the force of everything that is right, when the force of righteousness was released and came against the wall of Jericho, that wall had to fall. And so when we release the force of righteousness that he has placed on the inside of us, when we declare it, when we release it by speaking it out of our mouth, then the circumstances have to fall.
It's like in the story where in the seven sons of Sceva, where, you know, they were trying to speak forth what they knew to overcome an enemy, but they didn't know who they were. So what happened to them? They got torn to pieces. They got completely defeated because they were walking out in something that appeared to them as they were, but they weren't, because they didn't have the full realization of who they were. So they were just speaking words, but there was nothing backing up those words.
Authority.
There was no authority backing up those words. There was no power that was in them, but they didn't have the realization of it. They had nothing backing up those words, so they became defeated.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing would happen to us if we don't realize the authority that we have, the authority that he has given us with his name and his very own righteousness. And that's what he clothes himself with. It's the very, very, it talks about righteousness being the foundation of his throne. Everything that he did was established in righteousness. And if we don't realize that that is what he has placed on the inside of us, no matter what we may have done, no matter what circumstances may say, no matter what, that he has placed that thought on the inside of us and made us the very righteousness of God himself in him. It's all in him. It's not in ourselves. We can't do this in our own power and might. It's all in him. But when we realize who we are in him, that we have been made the righteousness of God in him, then that's when we'll get the victory.
And when we have this breastplate of righteousness on, because we're being covered, we're clothing ourselves in this righteousness. You know, we were talking about on Sabbath about how we were once in a position of having the armor on, but we were defending ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, it's so much harder where you're in a defensive mode because you're fighting with everything you have. So you're putting in more effort, you're working harder, you're trying to combat against what's trying to come on you. So you're just putting in so much effort and it's so much harder. But now that we've shifted over into the offensive mode, well, what happens when you're on the offense? You're walking forth like this. It's so much easier. It's so much more, you're being able to overcome. And when you're in this offensive mode, when you're walking forth like that, you know what Pastor Donna talks about, sweatless victories. Mm-hmm. You're not sweating when you're on the offense because you're just overcoming because it's so easy. But when you're in the defense, you're fighting so hard that you are sweating. And we're supposed to show the enemy that we're not, you know, don't let them see you sweat and walk forth in these sweatless victories.
The only way we can do that is if we're fully clothed in the armor of God, because it's from the armor that we get our security. In ourselves, it's just like David and Goliath. If David didn't know who he was, he would just be a little boy coming against this giant, and he would have been defeated. But it's the knowledge of that he was going forth in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that is how he got the victory. So if we are clothed in the righteousness of God, in everything that is right, if we're ordering our lives by that, and if we keep our eyes fixed on that and have the breastplate on, if we put that on every day, that's the foundation of the armor. Righteousness is the foundation of the armor. Because if you're not in right standing with God, nothing else will fall into place. If you're not in right standing with God, you can't have joy. You can't have true joy without being in the right place with God. You can't have peace. So every other piece of armor links tightly together with it. It's like a coat of mail. You know what a coat of mail is? It was a sheet of armor that was made by tightly linked chains. Now, what if one of those chains were out of place? The whole thing would fall apart. So it depends on each piece working together that makes it work. Because, I mean, the enemy can get a shot in at you if you just have your breastplate on. If he can get a shot at you if you just have your shoes on. But the way this armor works is you really can't have just one piece. You've got to have it all. Because and it all goes back to the word, the foundation of the word. It all goes back to the foundation of the word and how the word is it's the belt that holds it on. And what I found out is actually that the belt, they would put the belt on first. They would put the belt on first, and then the breastplate would attach to the belt. And so working together, those all work to defend the soldier.
And when you're walking out in this full complete armor, like Jordan was saying, you can't just have like one piece on, and this breastplate of righteousness is such a key element of it. It's such a vital part because of righteousness, and you're in right standing with God, and everything is right, and you're walking forth in this, and knowing who you are and whose you are, under this armor, and the key to it also is, you know, making sure you're being led by the Spirit. You know, what does it say in Romans 8:14? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Well, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you're not a son of God. And if you're not being led by the Spirit, and it kind of all connects back to what we were talking about on Sabbath, about the person that has hardened their heart, the person that refuses to repent. Well, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you're not going to get very far. And you're not a son of God. And that's why we need to step into just really grasping the full revelation of this righteousness and being led by the Spirit and just obeying everything that he tells us to do. Because when we're in a battle, because there are going to be some pretty mighty battles that are going to be coming up, and we need to know who we are and we need to be walking forth in it. You know, like we said, you can't just have this knowing. You have to be walking in this. It's got to be you. It's got to be part of you. And and when you're coming forth in these battles, you need to be wearing your armor, knowing who you are, walking in who you are, and you need to be led by the Spirit, because you have to let him lead you on what to say and what to do in the midst of a battle. Because if you try to fight the battle on your own in the flesh, you're not going to overcome. You're going to be defeated.
I want to read something from Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Okay. All right, I'm going to start at verse 3. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you, as I promised Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea on the west shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this is the plan that God gave Joshua when he was getting ready to lead the Israelites into the land to possess their inheritance. He had just taken the place of Moses. Moses had just died, and he had to take Moses' place and lead them into this place. So the Lord mapped out for him a plan of how he was to do this. And what it all goes down to is the book, the Word of God. That is what he based all of his battles on, going back to the Word. In one of the later battles, it says he went into the midst of the Torah. He went into the depths of the Torah. And the Word is what will map out the path for you. The Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it's the Word is everything that is right. So the Word is the manifestation of God himself. It's his spoken word. It's his written word. It's everything he is that is written down here.
And when we're walking forth in the Word, we're walking forth in him, and we're directed and guided by his word, and we have his word deeply rooted and established in our hearts. And like you said in Joshua, meditate on this word day and night. And actually, I just read something kind of interesting this afternoon. I came across this article, and they were talking about meditation. And when you're meditating on things, and I didn't realize this until I read this article, but When you take a scripture and you're meditating on it and you're studying it out and you're focusing on it and meditating and seeing how it applies to your life and how you walk it out, well, when you're engaging your brain to meditate on something, you actually change the course of the molecules in your brain, and the course of your brain becomes altered, and it lines itself up to that which you're meditating on. And it was like, whoa. So when you take a scripture, when you take the word of God and you're meditating on that, you're actually changing the course of the molecules in your brain to properly line up to that word, and it's becoming even more so inside of you.
And it releases in you everything that is right, and it sets everything right. Everything that was wrong is set right by the word. And as you speak it, and that's what Pastor and Ms. Donna have been saying all along, how if you speak, what you speak will happen. And it's if you speak the word that things will line up right in your life. If you're not speaking the word, if you're not walking according to the word, and it's not just speaking the word and just speaking it out of your mouth but not engaging your heart, you have to engage your heart into it and walk it out Because it does you no good to be speaking a word about healing when you're not obeying one of the commands that the Lord has in here. So it all goes down to whether you obey the Lord or not, whether you obey his word, everything in his word, not just what you choose, you know, not choosing one thing and throwing out another thing. If you're walking completely obedient to his word, if you're putting on the full armor of God, then what you speak becomes the sword of the Spirit. Because the sword of the Spirit is his word, and that's both logos and rhema. That's the spoken word and the written word, but the spoken word, the revelation, the revelatory word, that's the word that becomes alive to you. It's something that becomes alive to you, and it takes root in your heart. And once it's rooted in your heart, then you can use it as a weapon. The word on the page that's not alive to you, that doesn't do any good. It's not a weapon to you. It may be a weapon to someone else, but it's whether it's alive to you that it's your weapon.
So like she was saying, it doesn't just do you any good to just know the word. You need to be walking forth in it. So as it says in Joshua, meditate on this word day and night, obey all my commands so that you will be prosperous and successful. Well, when you jump back into Ephesians, he says obey all his commands. Just don't obey, you know, this one, and oh, this one sounds good to me, so I'll do this one, but oh no, that sounds too hard, so I'm not going to do it. He says obey all his commands. And so you go back to Ephesians 6, what is one of the commands? Put on the full armor of God. That he's commanding us to do it, but we have to put it on in its fullness and in the complete revelation of who we are wearing that armor, and just meditating on it and obeying his word. And like we said on Sabbath, you know, the things which you meditate on, you become. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So we're meditating on this word, we're obeying the commands, we're getting them in our hearts, and it's just instinct for them to just flow out of our mouths and for us to walk in complete victory.
Mm-hmm. So the word that needs to come alive to you is the word that we read in the beginning. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that it didn't say that has anything to do with whether you sinned or not. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ. No matter what you've done, because we went through the season of repentance, now we are clothed with his robe of righteousness. And he can continuously cleanse us from that and keep us with a clean hands and a pure heart. And that's how you walk this out. This is all teaching us how to walk this out. And there's a pattern that was laid from the Israelites' journey out of Egypt. You know, we left Egypt behind. Then we go through the wilderness, which was Sukkot, the time of rejoicing. And right up to the Red Sea. You know, the enemy's going to try to come in one last time and say he has one last foothold. Like the madman of Gadara? Mm-hmm. Jesus commanded him to come out, and he tried to say beg him, no, let me stay in here, and he tried to give one last argument. The devil goes out trying to be a spoiled brat, kicking and screaming as he goes. But when you know that it's not you that is telling him to leave, it's not us. We're telling the devil to get off our turf, or we're taking territory. It's not in our own strength, you know, because we're fighting a spiritual battle, and spiritual battle needs spiritual weapons. You can't be fighting a spiritual battle in the natural, in this physical realm. So everything that the Lord's equipping us with is to walk out in the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we're walking by the Spirit, if we're putting clothing ourselves in the full armor of God, looking through the filter of the word in everything, and that's our shield, and that's our whole armor, then that's when we can speak to the enemy, because we're behind the armor. We're saying to him, and hidden in the secret place. That's what the secret place is. It's in the armor, and, you know, we're looking at the destruction of the wicked, it says in Psalm 91. Well, the destruction of the wicked, that's those who have hardened their hearts. But because we have not hardened our heart, we're protected behind the shield. And we can speak to the enemy and command him to stop. But not from ourselves. It's from the force that is backing us up, the authority that is backing us up, and it's the very force of God himself and his righteousness.
Yeah, when we're in something, we can't be aware of who we are. We have to be aware of who we are in him. Because if we're just aware of who we are and we're operating out of, trying to operate out of our own strength or out of our own flesh, we're just going to sink and keep sinking. But if we operate, you know, we're coming in the midst of a battle and we're operating out of the awareness of who we are in him, then we're going to rise to the top and have that victory and walk forth overcoming each battle that comes our way. Mm-hmm. So then, like when it comes to, you know, on Sabbath, when we're talking about drawing a line in the sand, and we've heard so much about drawing a line in the sand, well, the Holy Spirit had given me an interesting illustration, you know, talking about people who have hardened their hearts and won't repent. And actually, you know, I wasn't going to let you go there, but if you open up to Zephaniah.
Interesting scripture.
It's towards the end of the Old Testament.
Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi.
If you go to Zephaniah chapter 2, and this is on the basis of some talking about the person who has had a hardened heart and won't repent and won't be led by the Spirit. Actually, we'll just start at verse 1. Collect your thoughts, yes, unbend yourselves in submission, and see if there is no sense of shame and no consciousness of sin left in you. O shameless nation, not desirous or desired. The time for repentance is speeding by like chaff whirled before the wind. Therefore consider before God's decree brings forth the curse upon you, before the time to repent is gone like the drifting chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you. And when I saw that verse, it was like, oh my goodness, the time for repentance is speeding by. He's given us this period of time, as we came through Yom Kippur and to Feast of Tabernacles, he gave us this period of time to repent and get it right. And the day is coming, like it says in the Word, speedily, where if we haven't done this, then it's too late. And so like we were talking about on Sabbath, about those of us who went through the motions of drawing the line in the sand, who did it just as completely as a flesh thing, we need to get into our hearts that that's not a flesh thing that we should be doing. It's a drawing a line in the sand out of our heart and stepping over it and staying on the side of Abba. And the illustration he showed me was, you know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, and some translations call it desert, you know, they were hardening their hearts against God, and they were refusing because they were getting angry at him for certain things. Well, when you go into the New Testament in Matthew 4, and it talks about when Yeshua was led into the desert by the Spirit. And when was he led into the desert, he was tempted by Satan three times. Well, three times, what could he have done? He could have given in to the enemy. But even then, Yeshua was making the decision to draw the line and step over it and come back at the devil with Abba's word. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he was making his stand, and he was showing all of heaven and hell whose side he was standing on, which prepared him for the day when he had to hang on the cross for us. Because back then, at that time, if he hadn't drawn the line then with those three temptations that in the realm of things were pretty simple compared to the fact of having to be hung on a cross, when he came to that point where he took all of our sins on him, he had already established back at the beginning whose side he was on. He had already drawn that line in his heart and stepped over and said, yes, this is the side I'm on, Abba's side.
And the whole drawing of the line, it's deciding, are you going to live a righteous life or not? The the Amplified, when it talks about the righteous, it says uncompromisingly righteous. If you're compromising, what are you doing? You're wavering. You're hanging on right in the middle of the line trying to go like this. And that doesn't work. And if you're compromised, what you compromise to keep, you end up losing in the end. So if you compromise your integrity for anything, if you compromise anything for anything, you're not going to stand in the end. Because then when you go to speak a word to the enemy, you don't have any authority backing up because you've cut off the very authority that the Lord has given you by compromising on it. But you showed the enemy that you're not firmly rooted on the word, that that's not your foundation. Your foundation is shaky, and it's going to blow with any storm. If you compromise in the face of anything that, you know, someone may come up, you may be faced with a challenge. I don't know what would be an example. You may be faced with someone who is trying to get you to compromise on it, and even though it may seem like a little bit, if you compromise on that, you're compromising your very stand on the word. You're compromising your armor, because the armor depends on having the shoes of peace rooting you to the word. And if your heart's not established, like Psalm says, if your heart is established trusting in the Lord and being confident in the word, if your heart is not established on that, then you're going to be wavering with every wind that comes. And that's what this is all about for the battles that are ahead. It's all that we need to be an army, the army of God we're supposed to be. We can't be wavering. We can't be half committed, half consecrated. You know, we can't be adopting some of the ways of the world and trying to keep some of the ways of God. We got to be completely committed to this. It's a matter of life or death now. And if we're going to make it in the days ahead, we got to decide once and for all whose side we're on and get completely on that side.
Because we're now in the time where you draw the line, and you draw a line of stand and it's stepped over, what have we heard that so often is behind us? There's a cliff. Mm-hmm. And if we make that wrong choice, and we're going to step off that cliff, and it can happen so almost suddenly without you realizing it. Because what happens when you, like, I don't know, if you're hiking in a mountain or something, and you walk up to a cliff, and as you start to walk up to it, the ground starts to gradually give way underneath you. The rocks start to crumble, and it starts to gradually give way. And sometimes you're not even realizing that it's happening because it's so subtle and gradual until it's too late. And it just comes right out from underneath your feet, and you're off that cliff.
Mm-hmm. And we can't hang around the edge of the cliff. If we're going to draw that line, we got to step over completely. We can't hang around the edge of it because it is a cliff behind us, and we don't want to take any chances that we're going to. Because in order to go back to hardening your heart and rebellion, you have to turn and go backwards. There's a verse in Jeremiah that talks about that. They turned their backs and went in reverse instead of forward. And to go in reverse is to backslide. You know, at this point in the game, that is far too costly. You know, to turn around and do things that you did even 4 months ago, you know, we're progressing at an accelerated rate of speed. So things are happening so quickly that we just can't afford any. We're running so fast that we can't afford to turn and look behind us. Because in that moment that you turn and look behind you, there may be an obstacle that the enemy put in front of you to trip you up, and you're not seeing it. You're not clearly discerning it. So if we keep our eyes fixed on the word and keep our heart established in righteousness, in the reality of who we are in him, that will keep our eyes fixed no matter what happens. And if you keep your eyes on that, there's no chance for you to slip or fall. Because your heart is established, you have one focus. You're not turning to the right hand or to the left. You're on one path, and that path is the path of light, and it's growing brighter and brighter. But what's lighting up the path? The word. If the word's not in your heart, if you let the word become dead in your heart, then you've just turned out the light in your path and you're in darkness and you don't know what you're stumbling over. But the force of the word, the force of everything that is right, and what is peace? What is the word, Hebrew word for peace? Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of order. It means it's righteousness. So you can't separate peace from righteousness. Look into it in the Bible. It's really interesting to see how much peace and righteousness are connected. I mean, there's verses about peace and righteousness have kissed each other. Peace and righteousness go together like a river. They flow like a river. You can't separate it, because if you're not walking right with God, you don't have peace. The only way you can have the peace in the times we're going to be living in is by walking in this place of rightness with God. So if we keep our eyes fixed on that, that peace is what holds us firmly in our place by righteousness. It works through the right standing with God.
And it says in Ephesians, for he himself is our peace. He covers us with himself, and he is peace. So if we're walking forth in this righteousness and walking forth in this peace, because the two of them come together, we're clothed with this righteousness, we're clothed with this peace because of who he is, because he is peace. And it comes back to him being in us and us being in him and us being the righteousness of God. If we're not wearing this armor, knowing who we are, and not putting on each part of it properly, we're not going to be walking in peace. We're not going to be walking in victory. What happens when, you know, one of us, I'll use myself for an example, if I've been disobedient in something or rebellious, and I'm not obeying, I'm not listening to Abba, and I'm not being led by the Spirit, I'm not operating in peace. I'm operating in the exact opposite. I'm miserable. I'm not happy. I'm trying to live my life the way I want to live it, and I'm not having any peace about it. But when you step over and you stay in this righteousness of God and stay in wearing this armor and who you are and walking it out, you're living this peace, and you have this peace, and you have this peace in the midst of the battle. Mm-hmm. If I was in rebellion and in sin and not obeying Abba and I'm in a battle, there's no way I'm going to have peace in the battle. There's no way it's going to be a joyous battle. But if I'm properly doing all these things, throughout the battle, from the beginning to the end, there will be peace, and there will not be a chance for fear to come in. Because the moment we allow fear to come in, when we're in the battle, is going to start our decline to being defeated. And we need to overcome that fear. And we overcome that fear by being the righteousness of God and walking forth in this peace.
Mm-hmm. And in the times ahead, what is it the Bible say? That the hearts of men are going to melt for fear. And if we want, we're going to go through this, we're going to walk through the same things that's going to happen in this world. But if we want to walk through it in victory, we got to know how to keep our heart established so that our heart doesn't melt. When we come up against some Goliath, we don't want to turn and run. We want to be able to face it and stand strong. And it may, in the natural, cause everything that in the natural to want to crumble. But what's the force that's holding your heart steady? It's the force of righteousness, knowing who you are in him, knowing that you're grounded on that you haven't hardened your heart, but you're standing on the rock. That rock will be your firm foundation, and it will keep you steady in the midst of every wind that's blowing. It won't shake you off that rock, because that's your foundation.
And there's going to be some amazing things that we know are going to start to come upon this earth, that have already started to come upon this earth. And we need to be the people who walk through these things in peace, because the people out there are going to be looking for someone to go to. They're going to be wanting somebody to run to help them through this. And we are the people who are walking in righteousness will be carrying this peace. So when these horrible things come upon this earth, we'll be the ones who are standing our ground, walking firm-footed stability, walking in peace, not letting fear come upon us, and we will be the ones that will be the witness and to be bringing all these other people in. Mm-hmm. And it's when we stand up, whether it's our own battle that we're in or whether it's whatever's going on in the earth, we're the ones that stand up and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Mm-hmm.
And the that's force where it of lies. That floods, it comes like a flood. You know, when the enemy comes out against you, like a flood, the Spirit will lift up a standard against him. But it's not just a little trickle. It has to be a flood it's the flood that rushes out. When you release the force of righteousness, it's a flood.
So when you stand up and you declare this, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, you're saying, I am the righteousness of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, in the anointing and the anointed one.
The very force of what is right. You are enforcing everything that he is that is right. And that said, everything has to come in alignment with that. Everything that is not right, everything that's out of order, has to come into alignment with the righteousness of God.
And what we heard Terry Pearson say this, and I just thought that was so neat. She was talking about how we're the enforcing agents, mm-hmm. who bring the devil to a place of nothing, because he is nothing. We are the people who are right. We are the people who operate in this rightness. And when we, as we walk as this rightness, everything is just automatically becoming right around us because of who we are and what we carry. And we take him to the place of nothing because that's what he is. He's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. she also gave a good illustration, I think, about what righteousness is. She was talking about how, you know, you may have a class of third graders, and so they're doing their schoolwork, and the teacher says that she has to step out of the room for a moment. She says, I want you to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, and will you do that? And they're all like, yes, we will do that. And then she goes out of the room, closes the door, and walks down the hall, and they're listening. And as soon as they hear her footsteps disappear, one of them throws a spitball. And then one pulls another one's hair. And pretty soon the whole classroom erupts, and they're all not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and there's this one in the middle that's trying to do their work. But then suddenly the teacher comes back, and she opens the door, and she steps into the room. And she doesn't have to say a word. Boom! Everything goes back into line. That's the force of righteousness. You see? You don't have to, when you know who you are and the authority you carry of the name and the righteousness of God backing you up, you don't have to say anything. You just walk into a room and everything will get in line. Everything will become right that was not right.
And that's why we need to come into this realization of us being the righteousness of God. There's so much in that. It really is so deep. If you just really get into it and look at what righteousness is and look at how Abba is righteous and he has made us righteous, there's just so much depth into it. And it's just all so connected on how it makes the armor work and how it makes the armor be complete. And when we get that we are the righteousness of God, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we are the ones that he has put on this earth to take positions as rulers and mm-hmm. as kings. You know, most kings that you see, mm-hmm. these kings know who they are. They know that they're the king over this entire jurisdiction. They know as they sit on that throne who they are and that they can speak a command and it's done like that. And that's what's been given to us. We've been given that same thing. When we declare a thing, it's done like that. We sit, well, not on our throne, but we're seated at the right side of him in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. So when we take our seats, we take our positions, we take who we are, and when we speak like that, it just happens.
Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to whether we're basing it all on the Word and not on our own. It's not our own righteousness. It's his righteousness in us. And that's what we have to be so aware of. And, you know, this is individually, and it's corporately as a one camp. We have to know how to walk in this together. Because, you know, faith works by love. Everything else works by love and unity. And it's unity. And even with the Roman soldier, it's unity. The unity of the Roman soldiers that historians believe that's why they were so successful. It was because they treated each other as brothers. And it was unthinkable to turn and run from the battle and leave your brother standing there. Because they were so closely knit, they would stay with their brother no matter what. And we gotta, I think for the days ahead, we gotta develop that. And I know we're already starting to develop a great bond that's tying us together as a church. And it's all in that we are the army of God, and our weapons and our armor works together. And it's like that encircling bubble that the Roman soldiers would put with their shields. They would lock their shields together, and they would be protecting each other. And it all comes down to that. You know, whether we're walking out individually and then coming forth so we can walk it out corporately. Because if one link is out of place, then we can't walk this forward.
So like we hear Pastor Donna say, we can only go as far as the weakest link will bring us. Mm-hmm. And that's why all of us, as we come together and we link arms as one and walk forward as that one impenetrable force, that one impenetrable wall that nothing can push through. Mm-hmm. You know, and what's the big command? Love one another. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're not walking in love, you know, we're not walking in love, we're not walking in peace, we're not walking in these things, we're putting gaps in that wall. We're causing links to be disconnected for the enemy to get in. And you know, we can't do that. We need to all stay focused as one, linking our arms together, walking out in love, shifting right out of strife. I mean, as soon as it happens, we just have to, no matter what it takes, just supernaturally shift ourselves out of strife and step right back in love. Because you know now, more so than ever, the devil is going to do anything and everything he can to get one of us to step out of that place. Mm-hmm. He's going to try some type of tactic, some type of plot to get one of us to enter into strife or division. And we cannot afford it. We are a people that know way too much now. Mm-hmm. We know way too much, and we're past this elementary school stuff. We're a people that just have grown up and have got to stay grown up and just got to keep soaring higher and higher. And that's why we just need to get fixed on this walking in love. And you know, when something happens, when the devil brings something, we just got to let it go like that. We just got to dismiss it instantly. Mm-hmm. We can't even allow 1 second of our thought life to go to that. Because 1 second of our thought life is going to start us down the path of meditating on that. Mm-hmm. And when you start meditating on it, it starts to get worse and worse. And now you're imagining things, and now the devil's throwing more things at you. And you're shifting from being led by Abba, and you're shifting into listening to the devil tell you stuff. And that's why we just need to get so grounded and focused on this walking in love and walking forth in this righteousness of God in Christ.
And if each of us individually have our breastplates on, then there's no chance for one of us to step out. So that's why I think that the Lord has been putting this message before us. With what's coming up, and then what's coming up this Sabbath is very significant. And it's just, there's a lot to it that has not been revealed to us yet, but I know that we're going to be walking out something on Sabbath, just all of us as one, you know, that we're going to be dressed in military style, that it's like we're showing the enemy that we are an army. But once we show him that, we got to act like an army. Yes, we got to be remembering who we are. And if we're going to step out and say that we're the army, we got to be dressed in the weapons. We got to have the weapons, we got to have the armor, and we got to have everything we need to walk it out.
Because on Sabbath, we're going to be taking a stand in front of all of heaven and hell. Sabbath is going to be the day where it's like, okay, we are taking the stand. We're showing up in our battle gear. Mm-hmm. We're showing up in the uniform of the army of God. Mm-hmm. And we're taking our stand once and for all. That line's being drawn. And we're stepping over where we cannot go back. Mm-hmm. After the Sabbath, there's no way. There's no more going back. We can't. Because I think, like we said earlier, if you go back now, mm-hmm. that's it. Yeah. That's, you're done. This is just so, so serious.
We can't have one of us not knowing who we are.
Exactly. And we're representing the kingdom of God and putting on this armor. And when we're coming in on the Sabbath and what we're all going to be wearing on the Sabbath, I mean, you know that the devil is not going to be happy about this. But we're going to just visually, as one, because we've got to come together as one, oneness of mind, oneness of heart, oneness of faith, coming together and making this stand on whose side we are on and who we belong with and where we're going to start to go from here. You know, just like when you have, like the Army, the United States Army, the people that enlist in the United States Army or the IDF, they put on that uniform, and that uniform boldly declares to the entire world what nation they represent. And they wear that uniform with boldness and pride, but the right kind of pride, you know what I mean? And they put on that uniform so all the world will know that this is the nation I represent, and if need be, this is the nation that I will die for.
And it's just of that force of righteousness. If it's gonna work, it's when we're as one. The force of the powers backing up the United States Army only work when the army's all working together in their missions, in their assignments. And, you know, it just all goes down to that force, you know. And, interesting, Malachi 4, I think it says, "And to those who fear my name will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and they shall go forth like calves released from the stall, leaping for joy." But it's all when the righteousness comes on you and fills you. We just need to be aware of this and be consciously thinking of this as we approach this Sabbath, whether we're all fully dressed. We're all fully dressed in the armor of God and, you know, examining ourselves once more. I know we came through Yom Kippur and all that, but examining ourselves once more to see if we're walking this out. Because it is a walking out of it, step by step by step. Now that we know, we're accountable for what we know. And we got to have the breastplate on. We got to have the belt of truth on. We got to be getting into the word and finding out what it tells us to do. We got to be getting into knowing who we are as the righteousness of God, because we are going to be the manifestations of the sons of God in this earth. And just putting on the full armor. It's so important for the days ahead. We can't have any one of us not dressed. So